Ìkànnì tó ju ìkànnì lọ, ìkànnì dúdú Spray FM. Ẹ jẹ́ kó wà níbẹ̀.
Filẹ̀, jẹ́ kó wà níbẹ̀.
This is Dudu Spray FM, Pan-African Radio.
Don't gag me.
Let me say what I got to say. A program that is slated for special dignitary in the society. Thank you, Baba Fela. Honestly, we are grateful for that legacy. Well, listeners, wherever you are, all across the globe, and whatever time you are listening, this is your friend and host, Omo Babaloke, welcoming you on your program.
Don't gag me.
A program to your listening pleasure. Dudu Spree, whereby we bring important dignitaries from all walks of life. Again, welcome to the first and only Pan-African Radio. We are world-class Pan-African Internet Radio, rebranding African entertainment. Yes, that's what we are. Today, we have with us Engineer Richard Akindele, a man who has excelled himself in his chosen career, information technology, that is IT, having worked with reputable companies in the United States of America. He is a Yoruba and an African. Engineer Akindele, we welcome you.
Yes, sir.
Engineer Akindele, you are a Yoruba man, right?
Yes, sir.
Please, what part of Yoruba are you from?
Kogi State.
Kogi State.
Yeah, in the Kabamapa area.
Kogi State. Yes. Can you still speak Yoruba? Okay, let's hear you.
Lagbara alone, Adipolo alone.
Ah,
Shemape, Nibitawa yi, Akin Rai Bawan Yasoro ni Yoruba.
Okay,
well, all the Tito Jamaica that the current list were Ashin and Tiraka.
Ye ni yawa Omo Kogi State ni Engineer Richard Akindele. So, Oshe Kojepe. Ede oyinbo na ma fi soro pupo sugbon olotu eto yi emi na ni Obafemi omo Babaloke to mu eto jeun witemi to mu wa se ti gboyin lati ori ero amijinjin Dudu Spree bayi a o tesi waju lati ma foro woro wo lenu alejo wa pataki eyin na mo pe awon eniyan pataki na ma mu wa sori eto jeun witemi o ade ti gbo ti arakunrin wa na so pe Yoruba ni awon na o inu wa dun lati pe wa sori eto yi o Engineer Akindele
e se sir
Don't gag me. Let me say what I got to say. Engineer Akindele, you studied in Russia.
Yes, sir.
Please tell us how and why you studied in Russia.
Thank you, sir. I had the luck of winning a scholarship. And that's how I ended up in Russia. So I went to Russia to study biochemistry. As it turned out, I only spent 2 years there and left to London. And then from London, a door opened to come to the United States. So that's been my journey.
I see. That's good. That's good. Before we come back to that aspect, let me just say we will go further concerning you.
Yes, sir.
But trust me, we shall return to that aspect of your sojourn in Russia.
Yes, sir.
And I was running your profile, and I realized that you had your primary and secondary education in Jos Plateau State of Nigeria.
Yes, sir.
It means you can also speak Hausa.
Yes,
okay.
Sir.
Ah, okay. Engineer Richard, please speak some words in Hausa language. And let's the Hausa listeners hear you about Dudu Spree FM.
Okay. Jama'a, assalamu alaikum. Kuna sauraron tashar radio Dudu Spree FM. Tashar ce da ke gayyato mutane su tattauna matsaloli da suke addabe mu a Nigeria. Allah ya kare mu. Nagode.
Yawa.
Yeah.
I think I can try a bit. But thank you, Engineer Akindele.
No problem.
Yeah, let me go further. It seems you are also publishing a book.
Yes, sir.
Please tell us, what is the book all about?
Yes, this is a book about practical solutions to everyday problems. If there's one thing that Nigeria has, it's problems. Every day, this problem, that problem. So it's a book that I kind of started slowly, but it kind of expanded into an entire book, just putting down my views about things and solutions that I thought could be applied. So just to give a short example, so let's say Nigeria wants to train doctors. In the world today, there's a shortage of doctors in almost every country. Let's say Nigeria decides to train doctors and then have a contract with countries where Nigerian doctors could go and serve in those countries. The government of that country can pay Nigeria directly, and then Nigeria will pay those doctors. So for example, let's say we have 100,000 doctors, Nigerian doctors, and each one earns $100,000. That means in a year, they'll be bringing in $10 billion. Now, half of it goes to the doctors and half goes to the government.
Is that right?
And that translates into $5 billion for the government. Now, what's the government doing to earn this money? You just train doctors. We have brilliant people from across the country. All that the government needs to do is to train these people and then send them out on missions. Why can't we do this? And this is not even new. Cuba has been doing this for ages. So that's just an example of practical solutions that the book has. It's a, I think about 300 to 350 pages of material. So there's a lot there.
About 300 pages?
Yes, sir.
Please go ahead.
Yes. So that's just an example of practical solutions. So for example, there are other chapters in it that talks about, addresses various issues, how to build roads for less, how to, street lights, how to tackle security, topics like that. Now, it's not yet published. Hopefully sometime this year, in a few months, it should be out.
It seems that the book also relate to some things about the youth.
Oh, yes, sir.
What can you tell our youth?
Well, the country right now has a lot of problems. A lot. It's hard to even know where to start from to say, okay, youths, here's what you need to do. But there are some ideas that one could present that would help the country. So for example, culturally in Nigeria, our people are materialistic. So let's say, for example, you give ₦1 million to a typical Nigerian. His first thought would be how to throw a party and purchase fancy attire. Soon the money is gone. The ₦1 million is gone and it's back to square one. This is a fundamental flaw in our system in general. It's just not for the youth alone, but for us in general. An Indian, a Pakistani, we walk around in ordinary clothes. If you look in his background, he's a multimillionaire. Why can't we be the same? Our people basically suffer from misplaced priorities.
Don't gag me.
Let me say what I got to say.
When someone gets a windfall, it needs to think of ways to double that money in a year rather than blow it away on frivolities. So that's something that as a society we need to look into. Another thing that I've noticed about the country is teamwork. We tend to be individualistic. You see our businesses are little establishments rather than coming together to work as one. It is a Hausa proverb that says, in Yoruba, that means, you have to basically come together as a team. They say a tree cannot make a forest. In a team, you're stronger together. That's something that I feel that will benefit us in the long run. So, for example, there's a group called the Mormons. I'm sure you are familiar with them. When they join hands to do things, oh my God, they achieve so much. The Jews, for example, also, they are the same way. A Jew arrives in a city, he just needs to look for the Jewish organization in that city, and he doesn't need to be in a hotel. Let's organize ourselves. You know, let's say 50 young men in Nigeria gather together and approach the Oba of a town. Would the Oba say, no, we won't give you land? If they wanted land to farm, of course he would. And let's say 1 acre of Ewedu in the summer can yield upwards of 500K. Just Ewedu, and it's such a simple thing to do.
I think, Engineer Richard, what we Yorubas called Ewedu is what they call jute leaves.
Yes, jute leaves. That's right. Just 1 acre. You could make $500,000. You know, now you make, if a young man makes that kind of money, he can plow it into back into the farm and expand it for next season, or he could establish a different business altogether. So let's band together in a team and work as a team rather than individuals. The another aspect of our life is that we love foreign goods. And this is true, even if made in Nigeria is better. For whatever reason, I don't know. Even the government is guilty of this. When you buy foreign goods, what you're doing basically is you're creating jobs abroad. Meanwhile, your neighbors next door are unemployed. If you patronize your neighbor's goods, you help empower that neighbor financially. You know, that same neighbor could come back tomorrow and buy something from you. So buying local is very important. You see the government to go and import cars from abroad. Meanwhile, we have local manufacturers.
Don't gag me. Let me say what I got to say.
Look at the US. Do they import cars? No. They have local manufacturers that they buy from. And then we have religious and tribal differences amongst us. You see how Hausa doesn't want to work with Yoruba. Igbo is looking at, you know, Yoruba with suspicion. Again, that goes back to being individualistic. Christian, Muslim, they don't get along for whatever reason. Just because someone is a certain religion, you refuse to work with them. This is wrong. So that's something else that we could do to make our society more cohesive and we move forward. A lot of us too, you know, we care what people say about us. You know, we look for validation from others. Don't worry too much what other people think of you or say about you. Just be yourself. How do we teach this? Be yourself. How do we teach this to our people, though? That's the challenge. Because both young and old, we tend to be the same. Now, the main problem that I believe we have in that country is politics, because, you know, we all know who the politicians are. They are terrible. Oh. And yes, and it's a kind of a business for them. Winning, it's not about improving the system, and it's not about taking care of the people, but taking care of themselves. If our youth understand this, then it becomes easy for them to know who to vote for. So right now we have two main political parties, the APC and the PDP. And those are the parties that win all the time. Meanwhile, those two parties are the same. So a politician comes to you and gives you 1,000 naira and a packet of rice. That's all it takes to get your vote. And he won't be back for the next 4 years.
Lord have mercy.
Yes. So I say reject it. You might feel like if you don't accept it, others would. So you're losing out. But that's not true. People have power if they choose to use it. That power, we don't utilize it. Look what happened with Bukola Saraki in Kwara. When people rose up, they came up with this Otoge, is it a program or whatever. They dislodged him. And this is a very powerful man in Kwara State. He said enough, and it was enough. So if we stop throwing our votes away and know who to vote for, who's really interested in the people, we'll go a long way. And there's also trustworthiness. Honesty is very important. So, for example, a typical diasporan can create a lot of jobs in Nigeria. Let's say a single person can create 10 jobs. And we have, I don't know, 2 million diasporans. That's 20 million jobs right there. Now, imagine how far 20 million jobs would take us in Nigeria right now. Unfortunately, a typical Nigerian deals with other Nigerians with doubts at the back of his mind. Just we don't trust each other.
Don't gag me. Let me say what I got to say.
And if we could fix that aspect of our society, we'll go a long way. Skills are very important. When you acquire skills, modern skills, there are a lot of jobs out there in the diaspora or abroad that pays in Forex. Imagine being paid in dollars with how weak the Naira is today. So that's another aspect. You know, there are a lot of courses that one could take online that would boost your standing, your skills and abilities, basically. So for a few dollars, you know, you can take even free courses online, but for a few dollars, you can take courses on websites like Coursera, Udemy. Have you heard of these websites before, sir?
No.
Yeah. There are a lot of courses there that you can take, you know, like $5, $3. Anybody can afford that. And there are a lot of free ones too. So it's true that jobs are very scarce in Nigeria. You see our graduates just roaming the streets, depending on their parents. This is heartbreaking when you think about it, because this going to school and graduating is not easy in Nigeria. Now you come out and don't get a job. That's really hard. But there are jobs online, and these jobs to pay in Forex. So, for example, let's say you get a job that pays $5 an hour, and you're working 40 hours a week. That comes out to $800 a month. Now, convert that to Naira. Say, let's say 500 per Naira. $800 a month gives you 400,000 per month. Do you know how many people in Nigeria today that earn 400,000? If you earn that kind of money, your life would be radically different. So it's worth it to look for outsourced jobs. And they're there, like phone customer service, sales, graphics design, computer coding, and so on. So acquiring skills and looking for outsourced jobs is one way to go for youth, and the jobs are plentiful. One last advice is food export. You know, there are a lot of food that one could export from Nigeria. And hopefully our people will start to look into this rather than just sit around and wave their hands up and say the system is bad. You have to act. What's the Yoruba proverb? Ma kojami olubala. So you have to kind of get up and act yourself. Those are some of the ideas that I have for our youth, and I think they're achievable if we just work hard and put in the effort.
Yes. So as you are saying that somebody can build a business online, at the same time, you can also get a job online.
Yes,
is that what you're saying?
Yes, you don't even need to build a business. There are auction sites that you can visit, and you just bid on jobs. As long as you have the skills, you may get lucky and win that job.
I mean, are you saying that they can also acquire the skills online?
Yes, sir. Hmm. Yes, sir. So there are some websites that one can visit. There are so many of them online that you can visit and just take those courses. Like I mentioned earlier, Coursera.
Hmm.
I think it's Coursera.com. And then there's Udemy. Udemy.org, or I'm not sure which ones, but if anybody goes online and does online courses, just search for online courses, they'll come up, and they're being taught by professors who teach at universities, so they're great courses.
So after going these areas.
Yes, sir.
One can also utilize or take the advantage of having acquired these skills to get a job. Is that what?
Absolutely. Mean? Once you complete the courses, it's not about the paper that you are awarded at the end of the day. It's about what you know. So if you bid for a job, you have to know how to do the job. You just go online, you will see the jobs being advertised. And you just bid for it. You sign up on the website, you see, look up for jobs that you feel you're qualified for, and then you bid for them. So for example, if someone wants an email server set up, you just go on, bid on it.
Hmm.
And you do it right from there in Nigeria. You don't need to travel anywhere. So there are so many jobs like that. And then there are sales jobs, graphics design, things like that.
This is Dudu Spray FM, Pan-African Radio.
It seems that your book is going to be interesting.
Oh, yes. I laid all these things out in the book. So once it comes out, hopefully a lot of people will get to read it. It has so much content in it.
Let's move further now.
Yes, sir.
Since you returned to Nigeria, how will you compare Nigerian society of today to the time prior to your traveling out for studies?
Well, comparatively, I think it's worse. It's much worse in terms of security. So take electricity, for example. The power situation has always been there in Nigeria, but it's worse today. How a country could go so many years and year after year have things get worse, I don't know. Because the problem is there, you can see it, and other countries have solved it, so you don't need to reinvent the wheel. So how come you can't just take their template and apply it to your society with necessary adjustments? But the problems never seem to go away, ever. It's just there. Roads, actually, the last time I visited, I went to Ilorin. Oh, my God. It's terrible. How cars can even survive on those roads, I don't know. It's terrible. And then being an internet type person, I visited MTN because where I was staying, sometimes you try to load a page and it takes a whole minute to load. And that is if it even loads at all. On top of that, it's very expensive. People complain about buying data and not using it, and the data just disappears. You know, all these things. So I took it upon myself to visit MTN and Etisalat offices. I said, let me build an internet infrastructure for you, because I was so frustrated where I was. I happen to have taken, I have a degree in Cisco networking and Novell. So I'm able to build a citywide internet infrastructure that will be much better than the 4G that they're offering right now. So I went to talk to them. They said, okay, we'll get back to you. They never did. So for some reason, they're just not interested. Yeah. And someone will ask, okay, if you could do it, why don't you do it? Well, the problem is I can't bring fiber optic lines. I don't have that ability to do that. But they already have it. So what I need to do is just build on top of the fast lines that they already have. But they never paid attention to it. They never cared.
They won't welcome you.
No.
That's no. Sad.
It is.
That's sad.
So it's not that we don't have the solutions. We do. But they're not interested. The status quo seems to be...
They are not interested.
Yeah. The status quo seems to be okay for them. So it's a kind of a tough situation. We're always behind in everything we do. Nigeria being what it is, very resourceful. We could be amongst the best countries in the world if we just channel our resources appropriately. But unfortunately, that's not what we find in Nigeria.
I think it's a shame. Engineer Akindele,
yes,
think
sir.
It's a shame that in spite of all these hues and cries that we have these problems and all these things, here is a technocrat who was willing to lend in his own support or, you know, his input. Yet, nobody cared to give him a face.
Yes.
I believe one day somebody will wake up and get us out of this mess.
Yes, sir. That's been our hope and that's our prayer.
Amen. Mm. Then, with all this going around, because I think this is not peculiar to Nigerians alone.
Yes, sir.
But the Africans in general. Then, what will be your advice to both Nigerians and Africans who are going through this kind of thing?
Well, you know, we in Nigeria and in Africa as a whole, we have autocratic governments, you know, dictatorships. So a lot of it lies in the hands of government and hoping to get a good leader that will come up and say, we want to change things. It's not an easy thing because I don't think we're actually the continent as a whole doesn't have good people. But the good people often don't get the opportunity to lead and fix things.
Don't gag me.
Let me say what I got to say.
So I really don't know, unless we just keep praying for the best leader. Even if the people wake up and riot, you see what happened at Lekki Tollgate. They came in and did what they did. And now nobody wants to come out anymore. And this is all because there are people who are power hungry. We are just continue doing what you are doing. Hopefully the people, like I said, the people have power. If they choose one day to use it, it will be highly beneficial to us. And a lot of our problems will go away.
Engineer Richard.
Yes, sir.
Since you studied in Russia.
Yes, sir.
Can you still speak a little bit of a Russian language?
Yes, sir.
Yes, can you just, perhaps there are some Russians listening to us over there. Speak some Russian language to us.
Okay. Здравствуйте, товарищи. Добрый день. Как у вас дела? I just said hello. How are you?
Okay.
What else? What should I tell the people?
I think I knew one of the Russian languages.
Okay. Moisin is my son.
Okay.
you said you know something in Russian.
Yeah. Okay. The only one I know is Slava Bogu.
Okay, thank God.
How did I know this? Because when I attended any conference or convention of international repute, I try to move around to make friends. So then I see the way they, I was, tell me, what do you say this in your language? So then I will make a note of it. That's how I...
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a tough language to learn. But really? Luckily for us, we had to do it as a course first year in the university. So you have no choice. We studied for like 15, 16 hours a day.
Wow.
So you go to the university in the morning, come back, and then rest a little. In the evening, you go for an audio class where you do listening and comprehension and things like that. And then later in the evening, you listen to the news and you have to go to class the next day to discuss that news. So it was a tough thing. So after 1 year of going through that, you're fluent.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then Engineer Akindele, as someone who has lived and studied in Russia.
Yes, sir.
Tell us your feelings about what the immigrants and students are going through now due to the Russian-Ukraine war. What are your feelings?
Well, when I heard what people experienced, it was so devastating. I mean, it's heartbreaking for one main reason, and that is the cold weather. It's coldest in that region in February. The way you dress up in winter there is quite different because it's so cold. To walk from the hostel to the bus stop takes about 15 minutes. And in that time, I mean, you're already freezing. And then when you get there to the bus stop, you wait a few minutes for the bus to come. In that little few minutes, you're already stamping your legs on the ground because it's so severely cold. Now, imagine that someone walked in that freezing weather for 60 kilometers. That's what I heard on some articles and some videos that I watched. 60 kilometers. I mean, how do you even survive that? So it was quite a thing, because I know firsthand what that means. A lot of people go to Russia, they get frostbite, despite dressing warm and everything. So it was hard, and I felt really bad for them. Now, Russia-Ukraine war, there's a history behind it. A lot of people don't really know this history. I don't know. How much time do we have?
Tell us a little bit about the history. Can you?
Yes, yes. So in the year 1991.
Yes, 91.
Yes. USSR was dissolved. That was under President Yeltsin. Yeltsin is his name. Now, USSR chose to do this or agreed to do it from Western pressure. But there was a caveat. They said, look, we are going to dissolve USSR, but only if you abide by this condition. And that is that the West must promise not to admit any of the 15 former Soviet states into NATO.
Okay.
Yes. So the West agreed to that, and hence USSR was dissolved. So the question that someone would be asking now is, why NATO in particular? Why was Russia concerned about NATO? The fact is, Russia has been attacked, invaded so many times in the past. But the biggest attack that they endured, Russia endured, was from Hitler And according to Russian history that we studied in Russia, they said 80 million Soviets died in that war.
This is Dudu Spray FM, Pan-African Radio.
Wow, 80 million.
Yes, but if you read Western books, the number they give is like 27 million. Hmm. Now, I don't care if it's 80 million or 27 million.
Even one soul.
So we're talking people who have really suffered. Russians have suffered. Because of the war, Germany attacked them. There was this Cold War between the communist bloc and the Western bloc. Hmm. And that Cold War lasted for 44 years.
Wow.
So Russia naturally was very skeptical of the West until that USSR was dissolved. So their reason for saying none of the 15 former Soviet republics can be admitted into NATO is that, you know what NATO is? They are a military alliance, basically. So any country, if any of the member countries are attacked, NATO would come on and attack the enemy altogether. So you attack one, you attack everyone, basically. And Russia is saying all these Soviet republics, they are next to Russian borders. So we don't trust the West. If you admit any of these members into NATO, you're basically putting us in danger because you could establish military bases next to Russian border. And it would be just like 10, 15 minutes away when you attack us to attack our Russian cities. So that's Russia's reason for being skeptical of NATO. Now, what did NATO do? In 2004, three of the republics were admitted into NATO, even though the West agreed to never do that.
Hmm.
So Estonia, Lithuania, and there's another one, Latvia, those three were admitted into NATO.
NATO.
Yeah. That angered Russia, but there was no real problem at the time between Russia and the West, so they let it go. Unfortunately, Ukraine at the time had a president who was pro-Russia. So NATO now went again to court Ukraine and invited Ukraine to join NATO. All this time, Russia was angry. We agreed to this, you know, under what conditions we're going to dissolve the USSR. So the pro-Russia president at the time was Yanukovych. He rejected the offer because he was pro-Russia.
Hmm.
And that triggered a protest. If you read the Ukrainian history, it's called a Maidan protest. So the people, the Ukrainian people, the citizens, wanted to join NATO, but the president didn't. So that protest broke out.
Hmm.
And in the end, a lot of people were killed, just like Lekki toll gate incident. It was similar to that. Yes. Hmm. And the president was ousted and he was exiled to Russia. Wow. So now there's no protection. The only guy who was kind of there to guard against westernization of Ukraine has now been removed. So Russia got angry and they went out and took Crimea. You must have heard of Crimea.
Yes.
At the time. Yes. So because of they removed the pro-Russian president, Russia got angry and took Crimea. The new president is Zelensky. He mm-hmm. is as anti-Russia as they come. I mean, he's staunch anti-Russian. So he's pushing to join the EU and join NATO. So one thing led to another. Russia was warning, we can't have Ukraine be a member of NATO, because we give you Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania. Now you want to add Ukraine to it. That is not going to happen. And Russia said, we're going to respond militarily if you do this. Unfortunately, progress was being made for EU membership and NATO membership for Ukraine. And that's what led to this war. Yes.
Wow.
Now, there's another aspect of it. After USSR was dissolved, all of the nuclear weapons were in Ukraine.
Okay.
So the West said, well, Ukraine is not a developed country. We can't really trust it with all these thousands of nuclear warheads. So they asked Ukraine to give those nuclear weapons to Russia. So Ukraine said, well, this is our only defense. If we give up these weapons, we have no protection. So the West said, oh, don't worry about that. We'll give you that protection. If you should ever be attacked, we're going to protect you. So if you see the West now protecting Ukraine, it's not out of any kind of benevolence. It's an obligation on them to do that. So now, given the story that I just told, we won't really blame Russia for wanting to protect his border. I don't know. So, for example, let's say Mexico. Let's take Mexico. You know, Mexico has a border with the U.S.
Yes.
If say China or Russia wants to build some military base next to U.S. border, would the U.S. say no? I think the U.S. will be concerned because, you know, Russia, they don't get along and things like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's playing devil's advocate here. I'm thinking, well, maybe Russia has a legitimate reason for being concerned. But it's up to the individual to really decide if it's warranted. A war with Ukraine is warranted. Or even if they should be having any influence on Ukraine at all. But so that's the story. Russia has always been concerned about its borders. I remember under Obama wanted to set up the anti-missile attack protection system in Poland and Czech Republic. Russia said no. It's not going to happen because it's too close to our borders. To Obama's credit, he dissolved. He abandoned the idea because he knew Russia was serious. But since then, it's been attacks on Russia. Remember under Trump, Russia was relentlessly attacked. Collusion, they said Trump won because of collusion with Russia and things, none of which was true. It was proven untrue later. So Putin himself has been very angry for a long time. They just kind of pushed him to the wall now. And that's why he came out to act the way he did.
Don't gag me. Let me say what I got to say.
So, you know, it is what it is. I feel bad for our students that because so many of them go there to study engineering, medicine, and so on. Imagine going through all that to that level and then having to go back home with nothing. That's a serious thing.
Yes.
So I don't know. They're returning home now. I don't know what their fate is going to be from this point on. But it's been such an unfortunate thing. Russia is willing to go all the way on this matter. go nuclear if they have to. So that's the problem that we're facing now.
It's terrible.
It's a serious thing.
Yes.
Nobody actually expected Russia to strike the way they did. But it's because Putin and Russia wasn't being taken seriously. Mm. But now they do. Now the world knows that they're serious. Russia has the most nuclear warheads. They have like 6,000 something.
Wow.
The U.S. is next with 5,000 something. So
wow.
if it becomes a nuclear war, I hope it doesn't get to that point. The whole world is going to suffer.
Lord have mercy.
Yeah.
Well, we want to thank our guest, Engineer Richard Akindele. I think you've really educated us in all these Russian history and studies, experience, even the Nigerian society that
yes.
you came back to. And we are very grateful for all this education, even watching
Thank
the
you,
area
sir.
Of business.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that our listeners there who have benefited from this magnificent impact. We just say thank you. And on behalf of our people, our listeners all across the globe, I want to sincerely thank our guests. We know that on this program, we bring important dignitaries, various personalities, and that is why it's called Jem Witemi. That means don't gag me. So, and we thank you, Engineer Richard.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for inviting me, and thank you for to the listeners for listening.
And we thank you. We would have loved to keep you longer, but your fellow engineers are, you know, beckoning on me now that time. And you know, when the engineers say it's time up.
Yes.
So then it's time. So we cannot go further. But
yes.
Thank you. We know that when next we have you, we have more peaceful atmosphere so that
yes,
you'll be
sir.
Able to assess the situation for us. Well, listeners all across the globe, we're going to draw a curtain on today's program. Jem Witemi, don't gag me. This is your host, Obafemi Omo Babaloke, saying bye for now. And until I bring again another important personality to Jem Witemi, don't gag me. And I say, once again, Engineer Richard Akindele, thank you for coming. And you have a safe trip.
Thank you, sir. Take care.
Yes. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
This is Do The Spray FM, Pan-African Radio.